Let's pray. Lord, open your word to us, open our hearts to you. In your name, amen. Let's talk about memory. It's a powerful thing, isn't it? To be minding your own business at work, doing whatever it is you're doing, and suddenly you hear a song that maybe you heard when you were in high school or whenever, and just like that, you're back in those days, those many years ago. It's a powerful thing, memory. It's also a curious thing. We can remember its insignificant details from 50 years ago, like the formula to convert Fahrenheit to Celsius, C equals 5/9, F minus 32, and then forget an appointment we set up for the week. Why is that? Memory's curious, isn't it? Of course, some of the things we forget are rather important. Someone's name that we know. An anniversary. Or forgetting to turn the iron off before we leave home. And so on. As I said, remembering is rather important. And time again in the scriptures, God tells us to remember. If you go through your concordance, you'll find all kinds of times when God says, remember this, remember that, remember this. So as we look back at what Christ has done and look forward to the new year, let's talk about some of the things that Christ tells us to remember. And we'll focus on six of them. There are many, many more, but we'll focus on six. So for instance, as the new year approaches, let's remember God himself. That seems obvious, but why do I say this? Because sometimes we treat God more as an afterthought than as the deity that he is. This is particularly true according to Solomon when we are young, even though it's true to all of us throughout our whole life. But Solomon said, especially to those who are young, Ecclesiastes 12:1, remember also your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years draw near, of which you will say, I have no pleasure in them. Why do we need to remember our Creator, and especially those who are young? Because we're busy being busy. We're busy making a go of things, making a go of life. And then unfortunately in the process, all of us, whether we're young or old, all of us, if we're not careful, we begin to try to fit God into our schedule, into our busyness. And we try as best we can. But is our Creator, remember also your Creator, is our Creator someone who should be fit into our schedules? Fit into our lives? Doesn't the Creator deserve better than that? People often reject or minimize God because they do not feel like they need him all that much. That is not the point. The point is this: God is our Creator. He made us. We owe him allegiance. Whether we want that or not, whether we like that or not, doesn't matter. Whether we feel like we need God or not, it doesn't matter. He is the Creator. We owe him allegiance. It's as simple as that. And we would do well to remember our Creator. So as the new year begins, let us remember our Creator, the one who created everything there is. And he holds it all in his hand, and as the psalm says, he counts it as dust. Let's remember the one who formed us in our mother's womb and made us the way that we were meant to be, and place us in the situation we are in. Let's remember our Creator and humbly bow before him and give him what is his due. If you forget everything else, do not forget who your God is. He is your maker. your Creator. Remember, remember Him. As the new year approaches, let's also remember that we are saved by grace, that we walk by grace, that we will be raised up by grace, and that we ought to give each other grace as well. Paul said in 2 Timothy 2:8, "Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel." And he said this because there were a lot of other people preaching false gospels and false Christs. So he says, remember, remember Christ and the gospel I preach, the gospel of grace. And even in our day, of course, there are many other people who preach perversions of the gospel. Remember, remember Jesus Christ and the gospel of grace. Those who do not preach Christ and Christ crucified, in my opinion, they should not even call themselves Christians. Everything that we are, everything that we do, is because of the person and work of Jesus Christ. We know that. We all embrace that, or at least I hope we all do. We fully embrace the true gospel, the gospel of grace. But here's the catch. We don't always live that way, do we? For instance, we Christians, we know that we are totally free from condemnation. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We know this. And yet, from time to time, we still seek to win God's approval by earning it, don't we? We try to be good enough so He'll like us. We can't gain something we've already been given. And in the same way, we know that we have been born again and that we have resurrection power. We know that. And yet, from time to time, we try to do what? Live life on our own, in the flesh. And of course, that works as well as an appliance that's not plugged in. If we're not connected to the Holy Spirit, we cannot be the people that God wants us to be. You and I, we know we're born again, but we sometimes forget. And then we live differently than what we were meant to live. It's good to remember that Jesus died and rose on our behalf, and then that changes everything. Everything. And as the New Year's approaches, let's also remember how good it is to walk with Christ. It's easy to take what we have for granted. Think about, you know, other parts of the world and the things that you and I take for granted. Running water, hot shower. I take it for granted that I have a couple TVs. Like, I need a couple, but I take it for granted. I you know, don't always take it for granted that I have health, but I sometimes do. And on down the list. And of course, we take each other for granted sometimes. And we sometimes take it for granted how good God is to you and me. When David was discouraged and he was separated from Jerusalem, he remembered what it was like to worship when he was in Jerusalem. And he said this, he said in Psalm 42, "These things I remember, the way it was. These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I would go with the throng and lead them in procession to the house of God with glad shouts and songs of praise, a multitude keeping festival." I don't think when David was in Jerusalem, he necessarily took this for granted. But when he wasn't, when he was driven out of Jerusalem, he sure missed it. He sure missed it. You and I are so blessed. We have access to God Almighty. Isn't that cool? We can talk to Him wherever, whenever we want to. For as long as we want to. Remember, compared to Him, we're dust, but the dust that we are, we can talk to our Creator and walk with Him. Suppose I sent a text to our president, any president. Suppose I sent our text to the president. Do you think he or she would respond to me? Not very likely. At best, I might get a form response from some but he 20 levels below him. He wouldn't respond to me. And yet you and I can talk to God, the Creator, who is infinitely greater than any president will ever be. And God gives us joy and peace. And he guides us and protects us. And the one that always blows my mind, Zephaniah 3:18, God is rejoicing up over us in song. It's like a proud parent looking down going, yes, my kids are so cool. Look at what they're doing. We have it really good as children of God. Let's always remember how good we have it and not take it for granted. The next one, as the new year approaches, let's also remember that you and I are entitled to squat, to nada, to zilch. We live in a nation where everyone's entitled to everything. Hence, without even meaning to do it, we sometimes fall into the same trap and think that we as children of God, for instance, are entitled to a decent, good, relatively pain-free life. Where is it written that we're entitled to that? Younger people think they're entitled to finding their soulmate. Where is it written? We often think that we're entitled to a job that we like. Where is that written in the Bible? We think when we're married that we're entitled to happiness. No, we're told to be the right person, but where does it say that we're entitled to happiness? Joy, not happiness. And I could go on and on down the list. But I think the big one for most of us here in America is we do think that we're entitled to a relatively good life, a sort of sanctified version of the American dream, that God more or less owes us that. Does he? I think when we think that way, we should remind ourselves of two things. One is that we, even as Christians, live our earthly existence under the curse. And that we deservedly suffer sometimes simply because we are part of the fallen race. God has cursed man, and part of the curse is suffering, and so we suffer in part because we deserve it as part of the human race. And secondly, sometimes we suffer because we are Christians. We are Christians. Jesus warned his disciples that they would suffer many things, especially as his day approached. And then he said in John 16:4, I have said these things to you that when their hour comes, you may remember that I have told them to you. He's saying you will suffer, so that when you do suffer, remember, I warned you. Don't be shocked by it. Don't lose heart. Have faith. Let's once and for all disabuse ourselves of the notion that we Christians are entitled. We are not. We have been given many promises by God, and we can bank on those promises, and we should. So we can bank on the fact that God will always be with us. We can bank on the fact that nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. We can bank on the fact that God will always watch over us and provide for us. We can bank on those promises, but we're not entitled to them. Any promise God makes is grace. And what is more, when he makes those promises, they typically have a higher and richer fulfillment than we putsy human beings often think. So when God promises to work, for instance, all things out for good, for those who love him and are called according to his purpose, he refers to our ultimate good, not necessarily to what we think is good. He's working all things out for our ultimate good. And the very next verse talks about our sanctification. He's working all things out to make us more like him. not necessarily to make us happy or comfortable or so on and so forth. And not only that, when it says he's working all things out for the good, sometimes that good is the good for other people who are involved and not necessarily primarily our good. God has never promised us a bed of roses. Let us remember that we are not entitled to anything. We've been promised many things, but we're not entitled to anything as a Christian. And then as the new year approaches, let's remember that God's able to deliver us. We do find ourselves in tight spots, don't we? God can deliver us and lead us to victory. When the children of Israel were camped across the Jordan looking into the promised land, they were a little bit afraid, understandably so. This is in the time of Joshua when the people were being faithful. The land had cities that were incredibly well fortified. The people in that area were very warlike, and some of them were giants. So humanly speaking, the odds were against Israel succeeding in entering the land and conquering the people and making it their promised land, as God had said. But what did God say to them? He said in Deuteronomy 7:17-18, "If you say in your heart, 'These nations are greater than I, how can I dispossess them?' If you begin to doubt, if you begin to be worried, so on and so forth. If you say in your heart these things, you shall not be afraid of them, but you shall remember what the Lord your God did to Pharaoh and to all of Egypt." God says, look at what I did for you. Remember what I did for you. Don't doubt me now. I'm going to do something like it again. When we find ourselves in a tight spot, it's good to remember how he has delivered us from other tight spots in the past. So if you're struggling today and your faith is wavering, remember how God has worked on your behalf in the past. Remember how he has delivered you from sin. Remember how he has freed you from your own flesh and the power of Satan. Remember how he has delivered you from tight spots last year, 2 years, 5 years ago. Remember. Remember how time and time and time again he was there for you. God is able to deliver. The question, of course, is do we believe it? Remember. Remember how faithful God has been to you. Remember and don't doubt. Finally, as the new year approaches, let's remember our failings. Not dwell on them. Remember them. The truth be told, even we as the redeemed are far from perfect. Amen. Said Moses to Israel, Deuteronomy 9:7, Remember and do not forget how you provoked the Lord your God to wrath in the wilderness. From the day you came out of the land of Egypt until you came to this place, you have been rebellious against the Lord. When we stray long enough and far enough and often enough, we provoke God. Just like kids when they're really naughty. They finally reach the point where the parents had it and they're provoked. Remember and do not forget how you provoked the Lord your God to wrath in the wilderness. We are so quick to call God to an account when he doesn't do for us what we think he should do. Why have you not answered me? Why have you not done this? Why have you not provided that? We're so quick to judge God and call him to an account when he doesn't do what we think he should do. But sometimes we're very slow to call ourselves to an account when we don't do what we're supposed to do. Quick to judge God, sometimes not so quick to judge ourselves. And of course, other times we're too hard on ourselves too. That's a whole different issue. And the truth be told, when we find ourselves in a mess, we're usually partly to blame. It's a rare situation where one person is 100% to blame. Usually if we find ourselves in the mess, there's some things we did that contributed to it. Probably we're not the major one to blame, but there's still something we did that caused the situation to be what it is. And while God is patient with his dear children, oh, how patient he is. While he's patient with his dear children, if we go our own way long enough, often enough, we do provoke him. It's good to remember that, isn't it? It's good to remember that we can and should confess our sin to him and that he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin. It's good to remember that we need to man up about our faults to God, to others, when we fail him or them. It's good to remember that we need to man up. It's good to remember that no matter how hard we try, we will fail. And it's good to remember that as imperfect as we are, we should not and do not have to act as if we are perfect. Isn't that freeing? Sure, we should, by the power of the Holy Spirit, seek to be better and to do better than we are today. We should always be seeking to be better. But we don't have to be perfect. We can't be perfect. Not this side of his return. And we don't have to pretend like we are. In this coming year, as we walk this earth, we will fail, sometimes by accident, sometimes intentionally. Sometimes it'll be a little thing, other times we'll fail miserably. But Jesus has done something about that, hasn't he? So we man up, we confess our sin to God and to others, and move on. Remember, you're not perfect, and you don't need to be. Now I confess, I file a lot of things loosely in my mind. You guys know that already. If Linnell asked me, you know, say we went to a get-together one night, and then the next day Linnell asked me, what did I think of so-and-so's blouse or shirt or whatever the case might be? Chances are I didn't even notice. Like, what color are we talking about? I don't know. And if I did notice, by the next day I don't remember. I don't care. I file it as irrelevant. Doesn't matter to me. I further confess that sometimes I forget things that are important to me. I can meet someone that I've met, you know, 4 or 5 times. I should know their name. I know their name. And you can relate. And for an hour, you're trying to think, what is that person's name? And then finally it comes to you. We forget, don't we? I forget a lot of things. But not this, not this. God is good. He's my creator. He's God. And I owe him allegiance. I ought to bow before him and make him the center of my life. I forget a lot of things, but not this one. I've been saved and I live by grace and grace alone. It's not me, it's Christ within me. I can't do the things that God calls me to do on my own. Can't do it. No one can. But through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can and do. Again, I forget many things, but not this one. Oh, not this one. God has been and is so good to me. So good. Sometimes I'll just go back through my life like turning pages in an album and I'll think about, oh, you did this, Lord, and you did this, and you did this, and you taught me this, and you were there when I needed you, and I'm so blessed. I'm so blessed. I forget many things, but not this one. God owes me nothing. Nothing. And I owe him everything. Puts a different spin on life, doesn't it? And I don't forget this one either, that God is more than able to deliver me, just as he has time and time again in the past. I'm really slow to learn things. Sometimes it's taken me 60 plus years to get some things nailed down, but this one is one of those things that somewhere in the last 5-10 years, I finally got it nailed down. God has been faithful in the past. He will be faithful again, and I don't need to sweat the details. He's got it. He's got it. And one more. I don't forget this one. Well, at least the first part. I'm far from perfect. Sometimes I forget that I'm forgiven. Or maybe the more accurate way to say this, sometimes I have a hard time forgiving myself. But I am forgiven. You're forgiven. We're not perfect. We never will be. Let's stop trying to be perfect. Better, yes. Let's strive to be better. But let's forget about trying to be perfect. Let's walk in grace. If you sum all this up, you put it all together, this is what I do not forget. I ought to love and adore God and worship him as King. Amen. Let's remember. Lord, you are so great and so cool and so good and kind to us. Help us to remember. We need to remind ourselves. Sometimes we just need to sit down and mentally go through our checklist and remind ourselves of all the ways that you have blessed us. But you too, Lord, you remind us. You remind us. And me, I think the thing that touches me the most, is when you do that little thing that isn't of consequence, isn't that important, like when we lose our keys and you help us to find our keys, we've lost them, we can't find them, and we're beside ourselves and we ask you, Lord, please help, and then you just put that little thought in our head, did you check this place? You don't need to do things like that. And it's not of much consequence, and yet that's how much you love us. It's just a way that you remind us that you care about everything about us. Keep on reminding us, Lord. Keep on reminding us. And Lord, we rejoice in our salvation. We got it good. We've got it good. How we praise you. In your name, amen.